This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
Welcome to They Mostly Pottered at Night. Mostly, I am Salem, joined by my co-host Graveyard.
Hello.
This is episode 109 of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. Is that a croc or a gator or a croc all the way from Africa? How much would you pay to see the six most beautiful women in the world in a dirty tent with a mud floor?
Yeah.
And of course, vampires in space. What happened between the first two Chainsaw films? Join us as we venture into what Tobe Hooper did between those family chainsaw barbecues. So this is three movies, Eaten Alive, The Funhouse, and Life Force, which were, yeah, I mean, runs the whole in between is what Chainsaw came out, what, 73?
Yeah, 73, 74, and then right. Number two was 86.
Right, so yeah, Eaten Alive is 76, Funhouse is 81, Life Force is 85. So we're all in between there. So yeah, these are some quality gems here.
For sure.
Okay, so I guess I'll start with the fever dream that is Eaten Alive. I mean, it's interesting.
There's right? not a lot to talk about.
No, there's honestly. Really not a lot that happens here, right? So basically, we open up on a lady in a what do you call it, a brothel?
Yes.
Right. Who is obviously not very happy to be there.
The best little whorehouse in Texas.
Right. and then we get our good friend Robert Englund, who is Buck, and he is raring to fuck, which we're pretty much 100% positive this is where Tarantino got it.
It's officially stated that Tarantino yeah. got it because he loved England's performance.
I was gonna say, because this is there's that's too big of a coincidence not to. So yeah, that's where Tarantino got his line for Kill Bill for Buck.
Yep.
There is no pussy wagon to be found, however.
True.
I mean, I guess you could call Buck's car, but it's not explicitly stated or painted on here. She is not happy about it. Buck is, trying to get things that she does not want to give out. So she kind of screams, and I don't know how to describe her, like
madam,
the corpse, madam comes in the room. And basically goes like, oh, Buck's a good boy. Buck, go and get yourself two girls. You're fired. Right. So the other
two girls
kinda...
for a price of $6.
So she, puts on a pouty face, grabs her stuff and then leaves. And on the way out, I don't know, what'd you call her? The housekeeper.
The worst housekeeping job of all
right,
time.
Right. Yeah. She's like the housekeeper of the brothel. She goes, oh, there's this place right up the road. It's called the Starlight, hotel. Don't tell her you're from here, or don't tell them you're from here. And here's some money, and go get yourself at least a room for the night. So she goes to this. Calling it a hotel is stretching it a bit. It's like
almost like a floating cabin.
Yeah, it's like a rotting boathouse.
Yeah.
it's bad. Anyway, so we're basically introduced to the gator/croc from Africa immediately, which is, you know, just kind of splashing around. She goes into the hotel. Of course, the creepy owner comes out, who kind of sort of looks like Stephen King.
He definitely looks like Stephen King from Creepshow.
Right.
Hands down.
Yeah. I mean, he looks like Stephen King, and he's like kind of like, you know, mumbling to himself, like, you know, what you want. I mean, it is in Louisiana, so I guess that tracks. But so she's like, yeah, I want a room. So he goes to bring her up in the room. And then, like, as soon as they get up, like, towards the room, he, like, goes, oh, you're one of the ladies from the brothel, aren't you? And then just, like, brutally assaults her. And then they have a fight, and he ends up throwing her into the water, and then the croc gator eats her.
Yes.
So that's our intro. So then we get dad and the daughter come to the place looking for we get dad, mom, and little girl.
Yes, the message disturbance house.
Yeah, like that show up, and they're like, they obviously like hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
So they get a room. She's wearing a wig for like unexplained reasons. But they, basically, they just like hate each other. The little girl has a little dog. The little dog gets eaten by the gator, and the little girl starts like having like a freak out.
Snoopy.
Yeah. So the mom basically strangles her to sleep. I don't know how else to describe what happens there. She like grabs her and then like lays on top of her until she stops moving. I mean, it's mm-hmm. I guess parenting at its finest in 1976.
It's effective.
Yeah. So then as soon as the girl like calms down, the mom and dad are just like berating each other, right? Just like nonstop. So the little girl, or I'm trying to remember, or no, the dad. You know, she keeps calling him, you're not a man, you're not a man, you know, you didn't save the dog, whatever. So he goes downstairs like, I'm going to kill this, you know, croc. So he grabs a shotgun from his car, and then he goes out there and he shoots into the water and, of course, misses. You know, Stephen King comes out and wrestles with them. He takes a shot to the leg from a double-barrel shotgun. He gets the other barrel to the leg. And eventually,
unfazed.
Yeah, he eventually, you know, throws the guy in the water. He gets eaten by the gator. And then we find out that he had a wooden leg. I'll spoil it now. We find out later that the croc ate his other leg.
Yes.
So that's why he has one. Anyway.
You're Captain Hooked.
Right. So then he goes upstairs and basically assaults the mom and ties her to the bed. And tries to chase the little girl, but the little girl runs underneath the house, which is kind of like a crawl space type thing. And while he's trying to chase the little girl there, two more people show up. One, of course, being Buck, who like gives him a bunch of money and tells him he'll be back later. And, you know, the guy's like, you know, swearing, don't ever come back here. Stay away from here. But it doesn't really seem like he is serious about that.
Right.
So Buck leaves, and then we get dad and daughter. They show up with a picture of the girl that was in the brothel in the very beginning, the first one to die. So they go, hey, have you ever seen this girl? Nope, never seen her before in my life. So they decide, you know, they're going to go into town because, you know, he told them about the brothel. And so they're like, oh, I guess maybe he's there, because he kind of sort of insinuated that she may have been at the brothel.
Right. The person that he never saw before.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they decide to go to the brothel. At first, you know, Stephen King tries to convince the girl to just stay at the hotel, and then, you know, oh, it's not a place for you. You shouldn't go there. And she's like, no, I'm going. So they go to the brothel. They talk to Corpse Lady. And she's just like, you know, super nice. Nope, never saw her before in my life. Don't know what to do. They went to the sheriff's office first. Basically saying, Sheriff, how come we're not doing anything? And he's like, yeah, whatever. This is my town. This is how I run it.
It's you like, pretty go? Much, I'm already right. in my pajamas.
Right. Yeah, he's like, I'm going to leave. Can we do this in the morning? They're like, no. So, all right, fine, we'll go now. So he was with them, and they went and saw Corpse Lady. So Corpse Lady's like, yeah, nope, I haven't seen him. You know, I don't know what to do. So, okay. Well, I guess we'll keep an eye out. So then dad was supposed to go back to the hotel room, and then daughter was going to get something to eat because she was hungry. So she drops the dad off at the hotel, goes back out to eat with the sheriff. Dad basically, I mean, almost immediately gets attacked and killed with a scythe through his neck.
Yep.
Because I think he heard the little girl in the crawl space and went to look, and he got a scythe through the neck.
Yeah, because pretty much the little girl's under the crawl space the rest of that movie after she goes into it.
Right. Yeah. And then so he gets a scythe through the neck, gets thrown to the gator. A girl is, you know, out to dinner with the sheriff, gets herself a country fried steak.
Mm-hmm.
And Buck is in the bar with what's, I guess, kind of insinuated to be an underage girl.
Yes.
At least under drinking age. but we don't know how underage. They don't really say it. Anyway, he's making a big scene in the bar. The sheriff goes and, hey, you know, you better get the hell out of here. You know, you're causing a lot of scenes. Okay, fine. So he goes back to the hotel with this underage girl. He gets in a fight with Stephen King about, you know, what is, you know, if he's going to stay there or not. And he basically just kind of pushes him away. Like, whatever, I'm taking this room. You already took my money. I'm taking this room. So he takes this room and we get
like to be Stephen King's room, like personal room.
Right. So we get a kind of an awkward, weird, nude makeout scene between Buck and this underage girl.
While Stephen King blasts country music. Right.
Well, Stephen King is blasting country music because the girl that's tied to the bed upstairs is making a shit ton of noise and banging on the walls and wiggling around. So he's trying not to have people hear that. So he's, you know, basically doing that. So basically we see the girl kind of finish her dinner with the cop and then says that she's heading back to the house. Now, out of the room comes Buck and the girl because there's so much noise and the radio is so loud that they can't even like bone in peace, apparently.
Right. It's too loud to bone.
Right. Yeah. So they come out. Buck is like looking around, you know, finds Stephen King creeping around, and then Stephen King throws him to the gator. He like fights it a lot. I mean, he fights it more than everybody else does. He actually like makes it to the little dock.
Yeah.
While his leg is getting eaten, but he does eventually get eaten in there. The other underage girl is kind of running and screaming. She finds the girl underneath the house. That's the other. When the girl comes back, she finds her. Right. Anyway, so the underage girl, I believe, also gets killed here.
No, she gets out because she gets in the goes like running through the woods and gets picked up by the car.
Okay, I don't remember.
She just goes out of the movie.
Okay, I don't. Remember, she wasn't at the end.
Right, they had a foggy wood chase.
Okay. So then the daughter comes back. She, I guess while he was out chasing her in the woods, she comes back, hears the lady upstairs, unties her, and they have a kind of a battle because the guy comes back in the house at this time.
Yeah.
And they're like running back and forth and back and forth and trying to like close doors on him. And it's kind of like a wacky thing going on. But anyway, so they both make it out, but not uninjured.
Right. I believe they have to have the final girl limp.
Right. Yeah. So they're both injured. Does the mom actually get, we don't actually see her die, right? She just gets hurt a lot.
She gets hurt. Yeah. She gets like stabbed through the leg. She like gets thrown off the stairs.
Right. Yeah. So she's like not moving, but she's like not dead either.
Right.
Anyway, so then the daughter goes outside, manages to like try to get the girl out of the crawl space. And then the girl like gets stuck on the gate to the croc area. So she's like,
it looked
hanging.
Like chicken wire, but strongest chicken wire I've ever seen.
Right. She was like hanging from the gate, like upside down while Stephen King was like trying to grab her.
Right.
And then that's when the sheriff showed up and then basically like, I think they killed him, right? Yeah. They threw him to his own gator.
Oh yeah. Like comes out and grabs him by the head.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. And then he gets eaten by his own gator and then So then the daughter, the mom, and the little girl survive.
Yep. But now without his fake leg floating to the top.
Right.
Of the swamp.
Well, it's a fake leg. He's fine. So that's it. But not a lot happening. But like, I mean, I guess rolling to first impressions here. Like, I don't know what was going on with this soundtrack for this fucking movie.
No,
it was like the camera would turn and it would be like a scream is happening, but no one is reacting. You're like, oh, okay, that was just the sound effect. Like that was just the score. Like, why? Why are these random screams and weird stuff happening? It felt like, you know, when you go into a haunted house, they have like one of those tapes playing that's just like haunted house noises. It was like one of those was playing all the time. There's like random noises happening for no reason. Like I said, screams and and things breaking and squealing like at all times. And just when nothing is happening, no one's reacting to these sounds. It was bizarre.
Do you think he used the same noises for the funhouse?
I wouldn't doubt it.
I bought this tape from Halloween store.
Yeah, but this, like I said, this movie really plays like a fucking fever dream. It's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what is happening? Why do these people keep going into this hotel? Because it looks like it's about to fall down.
Oh, easily.
Yeah, and I'm like, why are these, is there no other hotels in this whole area? Why is everyone going? Like, because the dad and the daughter especially, like, they had money.
Right.
Why would they be staying in this fucking shithole place?
And why would, like, okay, so kind of going first impressions, and this points out, this is a soundstage. It feels like a soundstage.
Yeah.
It looks like a soundstage. And apparently, this is taking over multiple days. I felt like it was one night.
Like, are you talking like filmed over multiple days, or this film takes place
over multiple days?
No.
Yeah.
There's no way. That lady was not tied to the bed for longer than one night.
I'm saying just like from the opening girl to like the couple, according to the synopsis, it's been a couple of days. I'm like, I feel like it's just one night. Like,
that's a
one
lie.
Bad night.
That's a lie.
But yeah, it is a weird, as you said, fever dream. And what's funny is if you do research on this, is like this movie did well enough to fund the Funhouse. It's the first major studio film.
Yeah, I don't know. I was lost. Like the half of the time, I'm like, "What is fucking going on? Why are these people doing these things?"
Yeah,
I was very confused.
And somehow, this is one of the first film nasties, video nasties.
I mean, I guess there's not a whole lot of blood. I mean, the gator looks like a pool toy. I mean, it does not look scary at all. There's no like real blood.
No.
I mean, I guess when the guy gets the scythe through the neck.
And
I guess,
there's
but it's
some,
like it's
there's
very
some jabs fake. With the point of the side that's just a little bit of blood. But yeah, it's isn't. I don't know.
I mean, I guess there is naked girls in it. Maybe that's
that is true. There's quite a few.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't understand how this became a successful movie to make another one.
Yeah, I have no idea.
So.
All right, I'll start with my high points. Unless you got anything else you want to say?
Nope.
All right, so high point number one is, of course, Robert Englund as Buck. Everybody loves Robert Englund as Buck, including Quentin Tarantino. So that's number one. Number two is strangling a child to calm them down. That was a great idea. I wish more people would use that idea. You know, oh, your child is being very loud. Why don't you strangle them to get them to shut up? I mean, obviously this is like a fever dream. It you watch it and you feel like have I been drinking? Like, how much did I drink today? I feel like it's a lot. And I will say, you know, Judd, who's the Stephen King lookalike dude,
mm-hmm.
He might actually be insane.
I mean, he would agree.
He is like, I mean, he plays off like he's like a schizophrenic dude that is living in his own fantasy world, like bumbling and talking to himself like the whole time. He played it perfectly.
Yes.
A perfect insane person was this dude. It was something else.
Yeah.
But that's what I got. What do you got?
Buck, of course, Robert Englund. pre-Freddy Krueger being in a creepier role than Freddy Krueger, I feel.
For sure.
It's all his lines.
It's Lisa Anna.
yeah, Judd, absolutely certifiably insane. So he's like, how can I make an insane person in a movie? Ooh, I'll go to the asylum down the road and get a guy.
Right.
And that's about it. He nailed it though.
Oh, he definitely did. But yeah, it was like, he's like, he feels like he's really disturbed.
Yes. Yeah, those are my highlights. I'll go in my low points. Poor Snoopy. Despite having being like a schnauzer and sounding like a, you know, German Shepherd. okay, so yeah, the dog sound effects don't match the dog. Crocodile sound effects, crocodiles, alligators do kind of roar or grumble, right? But this is like almost like panther sounds it was making. Well,
they also can't make those noises when they're underwater.
Correct.
I know, it's shocking to hear.
Correct. Well, I mean, this is the same guy whose franchise thinks that chainsaws run underwater too.
Yeah, that's true. Well, to be fair, he didn't do that.
I know. He helped make it happen.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, as you said, the sound effects, not just the dog, but just overall, like the Foley work. Like, we need to make this sound. What do we should do? Slap the coconut into the tree. What for? A slap. No.
As soon as you open the door, I want a high-pitched squealing scream noise.
Yeah.
Okay, why? I don't know. It's felt like that. Nobody reacts to it. Everybody's just like walking through the door as if nothing happened. I don't understand these noises.
And even the dubbing effects or the ADR for everyone else is atrocious. The people, the voices, I felt like, you always hear stories about little kids getting dubbed over by adults. And in this case, in this movie, you can see why.
Well, thankfully it felt like they turned her screams down.
Yes.
Like literally she would start screaming and then you could see the knob go down. Like her mouth is not obviously changing. She's still screaming at the same volume, but they like turn it down. Cause it's like, this is too much.
Right. This is Kyle Richards, who was the little girl Lindsay from Halloween. And of course the kid is annoying as hell. Let's face it. I mean, yes, her dog was eaten and then she's just under the house for like ever. And then, okay, I don't know if the idea of it being a crocodile or an alligator is supposed to lead into his mental instability, but even other people in the movie can't differentiate which one it actually is. We get no definitive answer of which it is. Is a crocodile from the Nile River or is it an alligator from the swamp? That's like
it's an alligator.
4 foot by 4 foot.
It's an alligator. Alligators aren't they the ones with the pointier snouts, or is that gators?
They're rounder. But I mean, if you're thinking Texas or Louisiana swamp area, it's going to be gator. There's not crocodiles in America.
Well, and also if it was a croc, it wouldn't have swam over from Africa.
Correct. Yeah, like I said, then just half of Judd's line. Did he need more lines? Probably not, but damn. This, like I said, this is it is a insult to the auditory system. This entire movie. That's what I got. How about you?
All right. Miss Hattie, the madam. Her corpse makeup was like legit frightening. Like she looked like she was literally a walking corpse. It looked like the skin was peeling off of her face. It was gross.
It's almost the grandpa skin from Texas Chainsaw, but worse.
Yeah, it was disturbing. I was like, is she dead? is that the point of this?
She is Morticia Adams. Come on.
There's a lot of pointless animal deaths in this. Like, for some reason, there's a fucking monkey in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then for unknown reasons, the monkey just dies just so they can show a dead monkey. Like, there's no yes. reason for that scene at all. Then, of course, the dog getting eaten by a gator is so stupid. But yeah, poor Snoopy. But yeah, I'll say it again. The goddamn score with those squeaks and screams and random noises all the time. It was that was very, very distracting.
Well, Hooper did the music for this movie.
Yeah.
By and, doing there's the also, movie, he slammed his hand to his keyboard.
Yeah. There's also like the creepy music box music that would randomly pop up out of nowhere all the time. It's,
yeah.
Like, is this, do you think this is scary? Like, what is happening? Stop doing this. Yeah. The child screaming was not good. And of course the gator, it looked like, it seriously looked like a pool toy that somebody like slapped paper mache over and then like painted green.
Yes.
It was terrible. Like, and it, all it did is its mouth would flap opening. Like it didn't have it. Like its limbs didn't move. It just floated there and it had a flappy mouth and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
All right.
So Eaten Alive 1977. 76. What would you give it out of 10? This, we're doing moans and screeches. So what number of moans and screeches out of 10 would you give Eaten Alive?
I picked moans and screeches because of the moans for Judd and the screeches for everything else in this movie. And let's face it, the creature from Funhouse. that's all he talked was his screeches. God, this movie is bad. Oh, let's see here. How do I think compared to like other stuff? Is this worse than Leatherface? I think so. I will give this 2 moans and screeches on a 10. This is not something I feel anyone needs to see.
No. Yeah, you're probably right. I probably liked it a little bit more than Leatherface simply because it was that fever dream. Insane, like what the fuck is going on? I just don't think the presentation was enough to make it fun. It just no. it's interesting for what it is, but I wouldn't call it fun. So I'll give it a 3.5. 3.5 moans and screeches out of 10. So next up we have the Fun House from 1981, which I don't know. It's like they kind of took a concept that a lot of other movies kind of squished into like 10 minutes of movie and they made it the whole movie.
Yes.
So take it away.
Yeah. And I will say that this is of the three today, this is the only one I had seen previously. I found out. So.
Well, I've only seen one of the three, but it was not this one.
Yeah. It was the last one. Yeah. It's luckily we missed Eaten Alive growing up. So, yes. So Funhouse starts off with, you know, what you think is going to be like a psycho scene where a masked person goes into a young girl taking a shower and pretends to stab her. Oh, look, it's a little brother who snuck up into his sister taking a shower to pretend to stab her. And then she has this argument with her parents about going to a carnival or not. She says she's not going. She's going to go hang out with her friends. And I'll just say at this point in time, the mom starts getting plastered because that's the only explanation for how plastered she is at the end of the movie.
Well, she had literally the when you're introduced to her, she has a drink in her hand.
Yeah.
And so every time the camera goes to her, she takes another drink. So, yes.
Yeah. She's already drinking heavily for the night.
Right.
So anyway, you know, the brother kind of overhears and follows them. She goes with her boyfriend and her friend and her boyfriend. And they go to the carnival. So insert like 40 minutes of carnival scenes. We have the Freaks and Geeks show, which is like a two-faced cow, a two-faced fetus in a jar, and that's about it.
Yep. That's just standard.
Yeah. You have the Penitent Fun House where you go on the roller coaster and you see kind of people going into it and just like that generic screams and stuff like that. Being operated by a guy wearing a Frankenstein's monster mask and hands, and if the whatever you call it, the announcer for all the attractions is the same guy, played by the same guy.
It's the Barker.
The Barker, yeah. He's the same actor playing all the Barkers in this movie, which is pretty funny. And we get to see the six of the world's most beautiful women, you know, and I think it was like 50 cents. And it's just full of guys, you know, people trying to sneak in and cut holes in the tent to see it for free. So we get a little sideshow of that. We get the world's shortest magic act and perform all together. It's like, I need a volunteer audience. And step. Oh, it's my daughter. Show's over. See you in 2 hours.
Don't you dare talk about Marco the Magnificent like that.
It was like 30 seconds of stuff. And he's like, all right, I'm done. See you in 2 hours. You know, so he has the mark, you know, in the audience already, says his daughter. And just, you know, they're like, oh, man, we have to call our parents. We're going to stage. We're spending the night someplace. And you have, like, multiple phone boxes at the carnival. And there's like, I'm just staying the night there.
Well, this is old school, man. This is early 80s, late 70s. So, yeah, they probably have a fairgrounds that has payphones.
Yeah.
I know you millennial kids don't remember the payphones, but they did exist.
So I had to use a call home from school. So, so yeah, there's more carnival stuff, getting cotton candy. They have like an eatery section, which looks disgusting. And yeah, that's like I said, that's pretty much it. And they're like, hey, let's go in the fun house. And they go onto the ride and like, hey, let's get off of here and like stay the night and start making out. Cool. So that's all going on. And in the world's deepest fun house in a carnival, you know, they peering through the slats and they see, you know, the guy, oh, sorry, they also saw a fortune teller who kind of had an accent, kind of didn't, which is when she chose to.
Well, that's all fortune tellers.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
All fortune tellers, like, they try to sound like gypsies when they're telling fortunes, but, like, in reality, they just have, like, New York accents. That's how.
Yeah,
that's,
or New Jersey.
That's the trope, yeah.
Right. I had to bring her up because obviously she's coming up to the next part. So they see, you know, the guy in the mask paying the gypsy fortune teller to bone. He's like giving her like $5. It's not enough, honey. You know, 10, not enough. And it gives her like 100. Cool. So she starts to play with him and oh, he's done already.
Happens to the best of us.
Yes. And so, he's very distraught by that. He wants his money back. And then he kills her, kind of electrocutes her a bit. And all this is being watched by the group of teenagers upstairs that just got done with their boning session in the funhouse. The carnival's kind of closed at this point in time. And everyone leaves. The little brother is still there just snooping around, gets scared by Big Bertha at the front of the funhouse. And so they're like, hey, we need to figure out what's going on there. So they find a way down and like, oh, man, she's dead. Yep. You know, they kind of hear someone coming back. They go back to their hiding spot and it's one of the Barkers who's the guy's dad. And he starts yelling like, oh, you did it. Not, you know, one of our own. You don't do the one of our own. So, we'll blame this on one of the local kids. Yeah, yeah. It's like, if you'd just kill a local girl, that'd been fine. Yeah, now we're just going to have to move. Let's get our money out of here. They open up their money box, and it's all gone because one of the guys like, I took all the money. You witness a murder, and then you're going to take all the money.
Oh, that means, yeah, that's what you do.
And so, you know, he's kind of using like a lighter to, let's say, light 1,000 square feet with his single lighter and drops it.
Yeah.
And he drops it between the floorboards, which just goes down there like, oh, we got company. So they start getting chased. We see the dad make fun of the guy and his mask falls off and he's has two faces. So he's kind of like a... it almost looks like a two-faced vampire. It was the best way.
Yeah, he's like he's got two faces and he's also like albino.
Right.
So
yeah, so you know, he's a freak and you talk about like his brother was in the jar, you know, if only your mom was still alive. All that jazz. So they start going up there and they start hunting down the teens. And as a good fun house does, it has real sharp weapons in it.
Of course.
Of course.
I mean, how are you going to scare people unless they're in danger?
Right. So they're trying to figure out what's going on there, and then just a magical noose comes down from the ceiling and takes a guy up, hangs him, and he's gone. And they start getting, you know, picked off one by one. One guy gets, you know, stabbed in the head. Cause he came out, axe, real axe to the head, and he's dead. Oh, shit. One of the non-main girl falls through, like, a trap door and goes into, like, the circular HVAC system, and she gets killed, slashed to death by the creature. So it's just the main girl and her boyfriend, they're left, like, all right, and, you know, Grandpa. He reminded me of Grandpa from House of Thousand Corpses, the Barker did. So he's like, I'll let you guys go. No one has to know. He's like, all right. And it starts attacking him, and then he gets, you know, stabbed through the stomach by the boyfriend, who then he just takes his body and just impales him as well. On, you know, like I said, the really sharp sword that is there on the night. You know, there's some back and forth with the remaining girl. Oh. I'm trying to think how she gets out. So Grandpa's dead, right?
Right. Well, yeah, so Frank kills the boyfriend. I call him Frank because he had his Frankenstein mask on.
Yes.
But the creature guy. And then she runs away, and she runs into, like, the mechanical room.
Oh, that's right. That has just the random chain hooks everywhere.
Right, yeah, like chains and gears and shit like that. And then Frank, she, like, pushes him into the electrical thing, and he gets electrocuted. And then he, like, comes back to life, and then she pushes him in the gears, and then he gets squished in the gears.
Yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah. So that all happens. She's able to get out. Meanwhile, the boy kind of... you know, went to the cops, the drunk mom came, like, oh, I was in the middle of my drink. How'd you call me out here? And they try to figure out what's going on there. And, you know, the girl comes out and Big Bertha's laughing at her. End of movie. Yeah. I don't think I missed anything big. It's just carnival stuff.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's basically my first impression of this movie is just, it was like how generic it was. There's just like, there's nothing really like great about this film. It's just a very kind of generic, everything that you expect to happen happens, like nothing really. I mean, aside from the Frankenstein monster getting like a handy from the old fortune teller lady, I think that's the only thing I didn't call like right when it started.
that was
like, okay, yeah, I didn't see that one coming, but everything else was like, oh boy, I wonder what's gonna happen next. It was like, it was goofy. And it's like, again, it was a lot of films. I mean, we just had, you know, one of the Texas Chainsaws had a carnival scene, right? Like, yeah. It's usually a place that, like, you end up, you know, like you're running around or you're hiding or there's some kind of showdown that happens at the carnival, but you don't set the whole fucking movie in the carnival.
No.
You never do that. You got to have some kind of balance out here. And no, this entire film takes place in the carnival. And like, what 75% of it happens in the fucking funhouse, which is like, there's not that much stuff in the funhouse. You can't stretch it out for like an hour.
Right.
But yeah, it's just, it's not terrible, right? It's just very generic.
Right. And I would agree with that. But so when this came out available for Blu-ray, I happened to get it and I watched it because it's one of those covers that I always saw growing up in the horror section of rental stores. That cover is like iconic to me in my head for some reason. Have never watched it. I'd say up until like maybe like 7 years ago. Like I said, it's just that the cover is what sold it for me originally. It's like, I just saw it everywhere. I'm like, all right, now I finally need to watch this. Are you looking up the cover?
Yeah, I don't, you know, I wasn't a big fan of clowns.
Oh.
You know what I mean? And the Funhouse Carnival, well, I mean, I guess I could explain. Well, do you want to say anything else? I have a story.
Go into the story.
Okay, so when I was a kid, I was not allowed to go to carnivals at all. My mother was terrified of them, and she absolutely forbade us to go to carnivals. So we never went to them as a family, and I never was allowed to go to it as a kid. So the first time I went to a carnival wasn't until like middle school or high school when I was able to like lie and go to the carnival with friends and stuff. But I was still like very, very wary. Like I didn't like being there at night. Like I was still like, I didn't like being alone there. Like I would, you know, always have to be with somebody. Anyway, so what happened was my mom, when she was a kid, when I heard this story as a kid, I thought she was full of shit, right? I was like, this is right. Whatever. This is just a reason to scare us. So she said that when she was a kid, there was this boy in her neighborhood who went to the carnival one day and never came back. And she would tell us about how the next day there was like helicopters going over their whole neighborhood, like telling this kid to go home. Like your parents are looking for you. You got to find, you know, blah, blah, blah. They never found him, never found him. And she, and her, the ending of the story was always like, you know where they found him? They found him in a garbage can in a forest preserve. Like, yeah, you know, obviously dead.
And well, I mean, in fairness, where you live, that bodies in forest preserve were pretty common.
Well, yeah, that's where you put them. So like, you know, again, like as a kid, I'm like, okay, whatever. I am scared of the carnival. Thank you for the story. But like what I didn't assume it was a real story.
Right.
And then like, I always remember the kid's name because she said it all the time. You know, every time she told the story, it was his full name. Mm-hmm. And so I looked up the story and it's a real story. Like there was actually like a child serial killer that was arrested and like convicted for killing this kid. Like he confessed to it. So like it really happened. It's a real thing. But that anyway, that kept me away from carnivals as a kid. So clowns, carnivals, circuses, I didn't like as a kid. I mean, I kind of was like, you know, taught not to like them, but I still don't really like them. I'm not like scared of clowns as, you know, a lot of people are like terrified of clowns. I'm not like terrified of them. I just don't like them.
Right.
I just don't like carnival circus clown type stuff. I just don't like it. And so something called the Funhouse would have been immediately something I did not like, regardless of what the cover was, regardless of what anything anybody would have told me, anything. I'd be like, Funhouse, nope.
But does the cover, the poster look familiar to you though?
No.
Oh. I said I always recall seeing it. I just never picked it up.
No, that's probably the name. It's probably just the name. It was like, nope. Don't care. But yeah, so to this day, I don't like carnivals. So like whenever I see them driving by, I'm just like, you know, I get kind of like a shiver in my spine. You know? I just don't like carnivals. But again, that was, you know, it was taught that way. But right. You know what? I mean, you know, none of my siblings got killed in a carnival. So I guess it worked.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right. So let me go. I'll go my highlights first.
Go for it.
The intro is interesting. It is like the intro to the movie. Like it's a lot of clown based stuff, which is really setting the tone for not clowns. You don't see clowns in the movie, which is funny. So that's interesting. Now you said you've never been to carnivals. I never been to carnivals growing up either, but I don't remember there being girls at one, but that's a heck of a draw.
Well, there was, but that's old school carnivals. Like, you know, by the time I had made it to carnivals, it was in the 90s. I'm pretty sure they didn't have that stuff anymore. I'm pretty sure they were pretty rare in the 80s as well, but very early 80s, late 70s, there's probably still some shady carnivals that had that kind of stuff. It's not like they're full nude. They're just like, you know, they're in, you know, like a bikini dancing around.
Oh, so you're saying they're Indiana strip club.
Yes. Or Illinois, yeah. If you have a full bar.
Yes.
Yeah.
The, you know, you talk about the, you know, all being set in the carnival, which is true, but I do like the atmosphere of it. You know, it is tied into people's fear of carnivals and the mistrust and the shadiness that most people associate, especially in that time period of carnivals. You know, they're travelers, right? You know, they always blame, you know, the carnival that's in town when someone's dead. So, I mean, the idea is there, just not necessarily executed fully at a carnival as necessary. But I do like the atmosphere for it. And I found it really interesting. Now, I wasn't alive when that was out, this movie came out, but fruit flavored loops. I go, that's a heck of an advertisement for Fruit Loops in this movie. And I just thought, immediately saw that.
I'm pretty sure Fruit Loops existed in 1981.
Well, no, I'm just saying, I just think that like this scene, like it, I don't think Toby Hooper's is one that like family friendly cereals would get product placements in.
Well, that's why it's a fruit flavored loops. That way it's right. Not the same.
Right. And the creature effects, they're unique. For sure, you don't see another creature like that anywhere. So mm-hmm. I'll give them props to that. But that's about all I got. What are your highlights?
Okay. Now I'm gonna say, a kid, right? How old do you think Joey was? Like 12?
Yes.
For being a 12-year-old kid in 1981, his room was pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
Like, he had all kinds of horror stuff. He had, like, Frankenstein posters and Dracula posters and stuff. Like, I mean, for being a 12-year-old kid in 1981, that stuff was probably hard to find.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? Because it wasn't the modern horror, you know, ridiculous number of swag junk that there's out there that's horror-themed, right? Like, 1981, it was like you had to find that stuff. It was not easy to find. Well, as a 12-year-old kid, having a room like that, that takes dedication.
Oh, yeah, because shit, even Walmart has horror stuff now. So.
Right. Yeah, it's everywhere now. But in 1981, that took a bit to get there.
Right.
And now I'm going to disagree with you here. I thought Marco the Magnificent was awesome. I've never seen a vampire-themed magician before.
That's true.
I thought he was great. He reminded me of, if you imagine Hunter S. Thompson mm-hmm. dressed like a vampire giving a half-ass, uninterested magic show, that's what Marco the Magnificent was.
Almost like Svengoolie.
Kind of. I thought it was great. I was like, this guy is awesome. But I will agree, I thought the mask effects for the creature were good.
Yeah.
Especially for 1981. His hands, another story.
They're floppy hands.
Yes, his mask was great. His mask did look great. It had like, you know, saliva squirt pumps and everything. It was like, you know, they did a good job with the mask.
Yeah.
But everything else, you know, was all right. And I did like the ending. The ending where she just like comes out of the funhouse and no one reacts to her in any way. And she just like wanders through the carnival. And it just kind of fades out. Like, it's a very like depressing, like no one gives a shit about you ending. And it was just a weird note to end on, especially considering like the whole movie up to this point was about how like they're trying to keep each other alive. And then the ending was just like, no one cares. Just leave.
Right.
Okay. I'll roll out of my low points here. I was in the beginning of the movie. That girl seriously looked like she was like 10 years old. Because we're going into the shower scene, right?
Yes.
And it looked like a 10-year-old girl in a robe about to take a shower. And then she starts taking off the robe. I'm like, no. No, what are you doing? And, you know, obviously then, you know, I saw that she's like, you know, not to be creepy, but obviously an older woman, right? And I was like, she does not look like it. And no. Then she gets in the shower and gets her hair wet. I'm like, she looks like she's 10 years old. I think she looked young. And it was, and I don't know, it fucked my brain. I did not like it at all. Again, too much fucking carnival. Too much carnival. You need a break. You can't have the entire movie in the carnival. There was like not even 5 minutes of like them like leaving to go to the carnival, and then it was all carnival for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
No. Don't like it. And then, of course, I call him Frank because he's a Frankenstein man. But his voice was horrible, man. His voice and his screams were like this odd tone. And his mouth like barely moved when sounds were being made. So you don't know where they're coming from. It was right. I did not like his voice and his screams. It was not good. But that's about it. I really don't have much because, like I said, it's pretty generic. So it's like it's exactly what you expect it to be. So I'm not gonna go into too much detail in there. But that's what I got. What do you got?
Yeah. Sneak in your sibling while they're taking a shower. Weird to me.
Yeah, especially because they weirdly drew it out. Like,
yeah.
Okay, we get it. Naked girl in the shower. Understood. Like, please don't make the 12-year-old stay in the shower with the 10-year-old. Like, what is fucking happening in this movie?
Yeah, that was, yeah. Some random ass quick cuts, like sporadically in the movie. Like second scenes, like just chopped to shit. Okay, so this is a traveling carnival, right? And how many steps do you think they went up to go onto the ride of the funhouse? 3, 4?
Yeah, I was thinking that because everything was like wooden porches. I'm like,
okay,
is there a guy that like puts all this shit together, like a carpenter that travels with them that puts all this shit together every time?
So below them, so, you know, there's what, 10 feet ceilings below them? So that means they're digging out the ground 8 feet. To put this house for them, it doesn't go up. There's not enough room for all that stuff. And a big circular fan system, like a huge HVAC system that people are able to stand in on top of all of that. How deep is this fucking funhouse? It just doesn't make any sense how deep it just big it really was.
Maybe they built it on a mine.
Maybe, but goddamn. I was trying to figure out what the purpose of those hooks were just going around. I don't see a purpose for them other than they're there.
Well, they're chain hooks, so like you hook something with them and then they
I don't know.
Get pulled with the chain. I don't know.
Like I said, this is the world's most extravagant fun house.
Maybe that's how they packed them up when they put them back on the truck.
Maybe. Using real sharp items, like functioning axe and sword.
Yeah. Like, we don't care if children get hurt. That's not our problem. Right. No, it is. It is your problem. Like, your insurance will tell you that is very much your problem.
And I thought it was really funny, but it's stupid. One of the workers had a walking stick, but it was a twig that was bending as he was using it as a walking stick. I'm watching this guy. Is he just cleaning something up? No, he's using that twig as a walking stick. Like, okay. That's just so out of place for me. Like I said, I just had to grab some nitpicky stuff just because it's such a generic movie.
Yeah, realistically. Said, yeah, there's not a whole lot happening here. So
no.
Okay, so the fun house, make sure it's the fun house.
Yes.
Not fun house. That's a different movie. It's the fun house. The fun house, 1981. I will give it moans and screeches out of 10.
I don't mind the movie. It's almost like something you just turn on and just like as background noise and don't feel like you need to watch it.
I mean that. Yeah, I mean that's fair. It would be something you put on in like a bar, right? Like background stuff. Yeah.
Right. I don't think it's terribly bad, but it's not terribly good. It doesn't blow my mind. So I will go up to a 6 for this. The funhouse.
All right, and that leads us to Life Force, which was Tobe Hooper's attempt to kind of break into the mainstream sci-fi wave that was happening in 1985. And I think it was a very big misstep that I don't think he kind of quite got the memo of. But if you want to like break into like mainstream sci-fi, maybe don't have a nude woman in like what, 60% of the movie?
her character was nude in every scene she was in but one.
Yeah, the last one where she was wearing it. Or no, there was two.
A sheer dress.
Yeah. She had she kind of had a dress on in one scene, but she took it off.
Yes.
Like immediately. So she only was clothed in one. But yeah, like, I mean, we're talking.
It's okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it, like we're 2 minutes into the film, full nudity. We're talking bush and everything.
Full female nudity.
Oh yeah. No, the dude's dongers were all covered up. We never got to see that. We never even got to see their nipples. What I think we did, but
yeah.
It's like they made sure to hide everything there. But like the poor woman, like literally every scene, it was like full on nudity from every angle you can imagine.
Yes.
Except from underneath. Except from like upskirt angle. But like every other angle, I was like, wow.
Behind her was pretty damn close to upskirt.
Right. Like, wow. Like, do you think you're gonna break into the mainstream with that? Like, no way in hell is that gonna happen.
Talk about it's competing with Star Wars.
That's what I'm saying. I was watching something. It was a documentary where they specifically talked about Life Force. They're talking about how it should have really, broken into the end. I'm like, there's a nude woman in over half the film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one sex scene is okay. Like, the Terminator has, like, a sex scene where you see, a breast for, like, maybe 10 seconds. Not even. Maybe, like, 2 seconds.
Right.
Right? That's it. And that's the Terminator. But, like, you can't have a naked woman for, like, 60% of the film and then, like, expect children to watch it. It's like, I don't understand what they were doing. Anyway, I know it wasn't made for children, but it's like you're trying to break into like mainstream sci-fi in 1985.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what other films came out in 85? Right. We're talking fucking Back to the Future, right? You're trying to compete with Back to the Future with a nude woman in over half your movie. There's no way. There's no way. Oh. I don't know. I just think it's a very huge misstep, I think. But anyway, sorry, I'll get into the movie. We do get our good friend John Larroquette is back narrating.
As he should. Film.
So essentially we have the Churchill, which is a joint British and American space shuttle, which sure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to Halley's Comet to like do sciencey stuff, right? So it goes out there, they realize, it's not a comet, it's a spaceship. Right. So it's like this big, long, like spaceship. They say is like 150 miles long and like 2 miles tall.
Yes.
So they're like, okay, well, we can't radio base because the comet tail is blocking all our communications. So let's just go right on in there.
Let's go in the sphincter spaceship. Yeah.
So they go in with these horrible, horrible green screen effects. They go into the spaceship and they find a bunch of like dead bats. Things they're like, oh, that sucks, let's take one of these back for testing. Okay, so let's go in this other room. Oh wow, we got naked people. Like I said, 2 minutes in the fucking movie and we're already full nudity, right?
Yep.
Two naked dudes, one naked woman, in these like weird crystal pods, obviously. Hey, human, there's nothing not human about them.
She's perfect,
right?
Okay,
we will get there. We'll get there. So they let's pick them up, put them in the cargo bay. So they pick up these, crystal, people that are kept in these like little crystal tanks. They put them in the ship. And essentially we get cut, right? It gets cut to back down on Earth where they can't contact the Churchill. They don't know what happened. So they send up another, space shuttle. And what space shuttle do they send up?
Challenger.
The Columbia, the other
the
one.
Columbia, yeah.
So there's misstep number two, I think. Big oops. So anyway, they get there and they go inside the ship and everything's been burned and everybody's dead. Oh, no, everybody's dead. But the three people in the crystals are perfectly preserved, but the escape pod is gone. So they bring the crystal people back to their, whatever science base in London.
As you do.
Yeah. And they're like, having one guard like watch him. And of course, the guard is like, staring at a naked woman the whole time. So, of course, he goes in to check her out. She wakes up and essentially like sucks the life force. I said it right. Sucks the life force out of him. And he becomes like, a zombie puppet. I don't know. What do you call that?
I would call it, what if Zack Snyder made zombies in Dawn of the Dead.
Right. They were like, they look like Muppets, like puppet, like zombie Muppets kind of. Yes. Anyway, so she sucks the life force out of the dude. The other guy goes in there, who's like the head scientist dude. He goes in there and he gets overwhelmed by how feminine she was. That's her thing.
Yes.
Overwhelming femininity is how he describes it.
You've that never was, felt love like
yes,
this before.
He was unable to control himself, but she did suck his life force, or at least not all of it, just some of it.
Yeah.
And then she leaves, and she manages to like suck the life force out of a couple more people on the way out, still not wearing all clothes.
Yes, yeah.
You know, goes into the park, you know, kills another woman, and then manages to steal her clothes. And then they lose her. They don't know what happens. So we cut back to the escape pod has landed on Earth. So we get Captain Unibrow
in Texas.
Yeah, Captain Unibrow is the lone survivor from the Churchill. And he, you know, basically kind of says like, oh, yeah, bad stuff was happening. People were dying. Shit was happening. Like, I had to blow the ship up and leave.
I set it on fire.
Yeah. Like, okay. Like, and he's like, yeah, there was some weird stuff happening, man. I don't know if she was like, I don't know, like messing with people's brains and shit. I don't know. I had to burn the whole thing. Like I didn't want anybody getting hurt. Okay, great. So then he joins the hunt and they basically figure out that he still has a mental connection to this woman because she apparently like, you know, overwhelmed him with her femininity.
It's called the power of boners.
Right. Yeah. She overwhelmed him with her femininity and now their minds are now linked. And so he is able to go under hypnosis and see that she has now transferred to a new body and like basically picks up some dude off the side of the road and steals his life force.
The new lore is that this vampiric type thing can now possess people.
Yes. Right, yeah. Just randomly. And then like, yeah, after this, it doesn't like, whatever, we'll get to the next scene here. So
yeah.
So basically they find this woman because he's able to like read off the license plate number in his hypnotized dream, and they go to this like mental hospital, I guess, where she lives. I don't know, it's never quite explained. It's a hospital, but they never quite explain why she is in the hospital.
Maybe it's almost like a halfway home apartment complex.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, Captain Unibrow basically like is like, you're in there. And then he like makes the other dude. It's one of the weirdest scenes of the movie.
Oh, it's in this. That line is in my notes. So.
It's one of the weirdest scenes. Like, OK, I can get her to talk, but you're not going to like it. He's like, I'm going to have to do things to her that you're not going to want to see. And the other guy's like, no, it's OK. I'm more of a voyeur. I'll sit right here and watch. He's into it.
He's a natural voyeur.
Right. Like, he sits down. I half expected him to pull out a pipe and just start watching. And, like, it just randomly cuts to the next scene of, like, is there, a big fat dude with a birthmark here? Like, oh, yeah, it's this evil child murderer. Like, yeah, that's where she went. She's in that evil fat dude.
Get me Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah, so they get Dr. Jean-Luc Picard to bring him down to the guy. And, like, oh, it was a trick. They drugged, you know, Jean-Luc Picard because he was the guy. Like, they tricked her. She was
because he touched the shoulder, he's able to sense her presence.
Right, whatever. So, they capture him. Well, she is now stuck inside Patrick Stewart's body because he's drugged. And so she's kind of like in there and he can communicate with her, but she can't get out because he's asleep. So they like keep yelling at the poor guy to make more drugs. And he's he seems very uncomfortable with it, but he keeps doing it anyway. So they keep drugging this person, Patrick Stewart, to keep her in the body. And they like get kind of an exposition dump as to like why they came here and blah blah blah. You know, they're trying to get life, they just want to survive, you know, blah blah blah. And then they get onto the helicopter to leave.
You forgot the most important scene.
What?
They kiss.
Oh, Christ. they get on the helicopter and then they keep drugging him, and then I guess they missed the drug window. I don't know what happened, but anyway, she like erupts from blood out of Patrick Stewart's fake head.
And another guy that during this the energy vortex, his neck got snapped.
Right. Yeah, who was like the Minister of Defense or something. I don't know. He was like somebody famous.
Yeah.
Or not famous in our real life, but somebody famous in their world. Like he was like an important person.
He's a member of Parliament. Yeah, member of Parliament.
Right. So, so then like she becomes like this blood ball and then becomes a blood-covered lady and then she just like zaps through the floor.
Right. Just like, you know, vampires did in True Blood earlier seasons.
Right. And at this point, they figure out that they thought they had found all the victims and they thought that they had, you know, trapped her.
Mm-hmm.
And so that no other victims were happening. And then when they land, they very quickly find out that all of London has become an apocalyptic wasteland.
Right. They said it's worse than Blitzkrieg.
Right. So there's like, literally like zombie warfare happening all over London because the cycle is like once you get your life force sucked out of you in exactly 2 hours, you come back to life as the zombie Muppet and then the zombie Muppet will attack and take life force from somebody else. And then it continues on and on and on. And then
right. Cause well, they find out that they thought the two guys that were naked, you know, they escaped, they came out and they like blew up. They're like, oh, they're dead. No. Because they're still alive.
Right. Well, this is before they knew about the possession. So apparently they just took the forms of the two guys that killed, so, you know, quote unquote, killed them.
Right.
And then went out and then they were like spreading their zombie stuff. So that the two guys were spreading the zombie stuff. The girl was spreading the zombie stuff. And then off screen, one of the dudes gets killed.
Yes.
By the other doctor using leaded iron.
Specifically, not the heart, but 4 inches below the heart in the life force area.
Right, in the spiritual center of the body. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting part is that, like, I looked up leaded iron because, like, I've never heard of leaded iron. And the funny part is when you search leaded iron, the very first result that you get is the book that this movie is based on.
The Vampire Aliens?
Yeah, it's like Vampires in Space or Space Vampires is literally what the name of the book is called.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing that pops up. Like, it's not a thing. It's not real. The two things that pop up when you type in leaded iron is this film and the book it's based on. And that's it. So, like, it doesn't exist. Because, like, I never heard of that. Like, well, it's supposed to be cold iron.
Well, it means they stuck to their own lore, at least.
Well, yeah, their own lore. But, like, it's cold iron. And that's, I mean, only very certain, well, like we always say, whenever there's a vampire or a monster, you have to relearn the rules every single movie. Sometimes cold iron is one of those things that hurts vampires. I don't know why. Normally it's applied to fairies or fey folk, right?
It's because it's pure.
Right.
Yeah.
But sometimes it goes. You know, sometimes silver hurts vampires. Sometimes it doesn't. See, sometimes it's only werewolves. These
are space vampires.
Whatever. So I just thought that was funny because I was like, I'd never heard of that. I'm going to look it up. Oh. It's made up. It's bullshit. So he manages to kill one off screen with this leaded iron, I don't know, fucking architectural piece. I don't know what that was.
He just happened to have it.
Right. It looked like a sword with like a handle that was like a 4x4.
Yes.
I don't know what it was. Anyway. So he calls and goes, yeah, by the way, I killed one. So you can kill him. Bye. That was it. He just had to call and tell them that so they knew. So anyway,
he shouted at them.
Yeah. So anyway, their helicopter gets taken over by NATO.
Yep.
And they have to go land at this NATO base and they have to convince the people at NATO that they have to go and save the world.
If you're out there, you're not coming back in.
Right. Yeah. Because they're like, well, we have to go kill the lady because the lady is the one, the space lady is the one that all the souls are being filtered through. I don't quite understand.
Where do you think she is? Could it be that giant blue vortex in the sky? No. Yeah,
no one seems to gather that. So what's happening here is the ship has left Halley's Comet, has now come to Earth's orbit. And all of these souls that are being sucked out and zombified in London are being filtered like lasers through the three vampires and coming into the lady. It specifically has to be filtered through the lady. And then that zaps up to the big ship in the sky.
Right. We get the Marvel sky beam in 1985.
Right. They don't ever say what they're doing with this stuff or what they plan on doing on it. But we basically learn that these things have been at Earth before. And that's why there's all these vampire stories and myths, right?
Because Halley's Comet came before,
right?
Which Okay. I think Halo's comic came after 1500s when the Magic Guild started.
Right. Yeah, I don't know that this is their loose definition that they have, but they did, at least they had one.
Yeah.
So basically, Captain Unibrow escapes, and he misdirects the other guy by saying he was going to the space center, when in reality he was going to where the blue light is. So the other guy is like, oh, what did they say when he stole the car? Oh, he said he was going to the space center. Okay, so then the other guy goes to the space center. He finds the dude that killed the other vampire, so he gets the crazy leaded iron sword thing, and then has to kill that dude because he was a vampire too now.
Yes.
So he gets that. Then he goes, oh, maybe I should have went where that blue light was the whole time. But now he has the leaded iron stabby thing, right? So he goes to the cathedral. And now the entire time, the entire scene that he has spent like trying to fight his way to the cathedral and killing the vampire outside and making his way in the cathedral and trying to fucking get Captain Unibrow to even look at him, because he just constantly keeps making out, totally like regular humans make out, with the space lady, right?
And it's, he's just now like, naked.
Yeah, he's naked too. Then they're just like, I don't know what the fuck. I don't know what Toby Huber was watching for, like, romantic, like, make out, like, realistic stuff, but it was not humans. I can guarantee that. So he finally convinces, you know, Captain Unibrow to, like, take this fucking sword. And then he stabs her and him because she tells him that he is somehow distantly related to the vampires too.
It's always been you.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea what the fuck that means.
You've always been one of us.
Yeah. So he stabs her through the back, and then he stabs himself too. And then, you know, the blue light turns to red. The ship shuts off and leaves, and then they all die. And then,
well, they get teleported back up to the ship.
Well, whatever. Well, I think that, I don't know if that was them. I think that was all the souls that had already been up there.
I don't know. I took it as they just went back onto the ship.
The blue light turned to red light, and they said specifically before that the blue light was all the souls.
Maybe. I took it as that they didn't actually die. So.
Who knows? There's no fucking sequel coming from this fucking movie, so. We'll never find out, and I don't care. I don't want them to live. I want them to be dead.
All right, they're dead.
I'm telling the story. You listen to me. Movie over.
Yes.
Essentially. This is the one that I've seen before. I have seen this. I did not see it in the 80s. I watched it. I don't know. I think it was less than 10 years ago.
It's another one of those posters that everyone has seen, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, you know the box art, it's not normally watched.
Right. Yeah, no, it's a movie that, yeah, it never caught on, and there's very obvious reasons why it did not. And a lot of, some people will tell you, like, oh, it's, you know, it's weird that it never caught on. It's like, no, it's, that's not weird at all. I can tell you right now what happened. But yeah, so it's one of those, like, never was kind of movies that it kind of tried to make it big. Like, it had big studio money.
Oh yeah.
It did not quite.
It didn't even make half its budget back.
Yeah. Like, it did not hit with audiences. I wonder why. But that's, yeah. So
yeah,
I've seen it before. And again, it's very obvious to me why it didn't get bigger, but I guess some people were fooled.
Yeah. For me, like, this is the first time watching it for me. And, you know, sometimes I sit out in the living room watching horror movies, and I had this on and no one was around. And, like, this is, I'm like, I'm watching, I'm like, all right, is she done naked? Nope. I'm like, all right, well, I had kids getting picked up from home from school from the after activities. I'm just like, I'm going to watch this somewhere else.
Right. It's like, you can't even watch it with the kids around. It's like, no. What the hell?
No. But it's one of those things that, like, I always knew as vampires in space. Like, it was never a mystery to me, but, like with a lot of other shows that I watch and lists and stuff like that, people talk about, they never show any clips from it. Like, I never understood why until I watched it.
Because by the time she's wearing clothes, everything is like a wasteland. It kind of gives away the story.
Yeah. But I do think it had interesting things to it and concepts that are unique to this movie for sure. But the science of it is horrific.
Well, it had decent ideas, you know, like if she was not naked for the entire movie, I think it would have been a lot bigger of a movie. You know, right. I mean, it's generic enough, right? Yeah. It's digestible enough for like the average person to like get it. It's about fucking space vampires. Like,
yeah,
I don't think it'd be a good, fun movie, but it's just simply because there's so much weird nudity and like just weird sex shit in the movie. Mm-hmm. It's just not for everybody. It's a very small subset of people that would enjoy it.
Correct. All right, you want to do your highlights first?
Sure.
Okay.
One is, I think it was funny that John Larroquette came back to narrate the beginning of this fucking movie of all things. Mm-hmm. That was great. I will say the space girl was brave as hell, right? I mean, like being naked in a film with nothing but dudes she had to have been for weeks because she was naked the whole fucking time.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just being naked all the time around all these people, like acting normal the way that she did, that took some guts. Like, she was brave as hell. I felt bad for her.
Her wardrobe was really easy to maintain continuity.
Yeah. Yeah. Her overwhelmingly feminine presence was good. Again, it was, I mean, she did great. I just think you can't really take her seriously when she's naked all the time.
No, like I said, she's French, and French actresses get naked all the time.
Oh, don't tell me. I know. One of my very favorites, Ava Green, is from France, and she's the same. Anyway, so zombies, right? Yep. They're good and they're bad at the same time. Yep. I put them on the good side, but they are also bad. They kind of like straddle both. They're good and they're bad. Like I said, they look like Muppets, but they are interesting. Right there, it's a fun kind of way to see it. That's what I'm saying. If there wasn't so much nudity, I think it would have done better. People would have reacted like with these goofy ass Muppets on.
Oh yeah.
I mean, good old Patrick Stewart. Right, he's in the film for like maybe 10 minutes, and he doesn't show up for like an hour. It's like over an hour into the movie before he shows up.
Yes.
And again, he's also in it for, and he's the only person that you know in the whole film. Like everybody else is people that I don't know, so that's good. I did like that they at least half-assed tried to explain that, oh yeah, they were here before, that's why all the vampires exist, all these vampire stories is from them that came before. It's like, okay, then how come they didn't talk about the blue light in the spaceship in the sky? But
because Halley's Comet comes every 72 to 80 years, so this is 1985 and this is right before Halley's Comet came in 86,
right?
So that means the last time would have been, you know, 1905 to 1913.
I'm just saying it's very odd that they specifically talked about how they fed on other people and how to like fight them and kill them and all that shit, but they did not mention the giant blue pillar of light in the sky or the fucking spaceship that shows up in the sky.
That in vampire lore of even Eastern Europe, not even going back thousands of years before that, and just our idea of vampires is that this comet would have visited at least 6 times.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm just saying, like, the comet is the comet, but, like, the spaceship is obviously different from the comet, and the blue light is obviously different from the fucking comet.
Right.
And I did like, when they were showing, like, the apocalyptic London towards the end, like, it did generally look like a chaotic, like apocalyptic riot was happening. It did look realistic. It was kind of fun the way that they portrayed that. I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
But that's all I got for high points.
I will say that we don't see many energy vampires in movies. Few and far between. Right, that actually feeds on energy, not blood.
Yeah, I think simply because, like, the blood and the visceralness of, like, actually getting bit
Right.
Is like more real for people than just like, oh, I sucked the life force with my fingers. Like,
except
nobody...
if you watch the zombie vampires in the last part of the movie is that they are biting people's necks. So I think they went all over the place with that because that is on both sides of my list. Death by Snoo Snoo. Who doesn't want that?
Dude, again, I don't know where they got this reference material from, but they were just like mouthing the sky. Like, I don't know what they were trying to do. Like, I've seen people make out, and that is not how humans do it. I don't know where you got your references from, but please stop. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, the guy going, it's all right, I'm a natural voyeur. And he just sits down. Yeah, like,
that guy was awesome.
So out of place, but it's awesome.
That guy was awesome. He's like, that's all right, go ahead, I'm good. I wanted him to get a drink and like pull out a pipe and just watch. Yeah.
Colonel Unibrow, his method is, when in doubt, slap it out.
Yeah.
I'm an interrogator. Slap. What are you patched to? What to do? What am I going to do? How about I slap him? That seemed to work before. All right, cool. I'm not sure I've ever seen the idea of a shape shifting, possession, body jumping vampire. Her power set is all over the place and unique to this movie. Like, shapeshift, sure. Into other people? No. Possessing other people? No. It's just a weird thing of it. I like it, though. I will then go into my low points. Okay, so I understand there's no wind resistance, no up and down, or anything like that, right? But when your spaceship is flying through space and the back thruster is going, you don't go sideways. Throwing it out there. The beginning of the movie.
I was saying, at least they gave you an excuse. Most movies don't say shit. It's just a spaceship flying through space and there's normal gravity on the ship for some reason and they never explain why.
Yeah.
This movie at least was like, oh, we have a special engine that gives you gravity. Like, at least they tried. At least they said something.
But like, your spaceship thruster is on the back, but you're moving sideways. The physics and science of this is horrendous across the board.
Well, it's space, man. Once you accelerate in one direction, it don't matter which way the engine's going. As long as it doesn't fire, you'll keep going in that direction.
Yeah. Okay, so obviously the intro crawl is a Star Wars ripoff, including the music. Is a ripoff of Star Wars intro theme, which I thought was hilarious, but wrong if they're trying to compete with Star Wars, as we discussed, this movie's never going to.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so NERMA, right? It was the artificial gravity. NERMA, N-E-R-M-A, which is an acronym for nuclear motor, which is not E.
It's a V.
NERVA, rocket vehicle application. Someone doesn't know how acronyms work. The E's not there anywhere.
They had a name, they wanted to make it, and they just filled in whatever fit. It's literally only... explain for 10 seconds and they never say it again.
They are going so fast through space, they traveled the entire length of this 150 mile ship in like 10 seconds.
Yeah,
that's absurd.
How fast do you think spaceships are going?
Not
they're going a hell of a lot faster than that.
Yeah.
Did you go to space camp?
No.
Oh, okay.
Let's face it, the ship looked like an anus when they entered.
It looked like an umbrella.
Oh, that too. I'm saying where they entered looked like an asshole.
Yeah, it's an organic ship. How else are you going to get in?
Okay, so it's weird that they had zombies. Like, vampires, I get, but zombies is interesting, to the point where they're able to get shot in the head and die. They're able to get their limbs ripped off like normal zombies. But like when we're first introduced to these things, they don't get fed every 2 hours. They spontaneously combust or blow up. So their lore of what these creatures are supposed to be wildly vary throughout the rest of the movie.
Yeah. Well, they do show that once you hit your 2 hour limit, you like hit like freak out rage mode.
Yeah.
So essentially all the ones you're seeing running around screaming, raging, and trying to kill you are the ones that are in that mode.
But none of them turn to dust anymore because they can't just have dust.
I'm just saying, yeah, they were obviously in that mode for a lot longer than the ones they damaged.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I think that's what they were trying to go for. They missed the mark, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So I found it really interesting is that the two people going around that is telling prime ministers that's able to go into a mental hospital that is able to deal with NATO is they are colonels in the space program. Everyone's reporting to them like they are the top chain of command.
Well, the one guy was a colonel in the SAS.
But the other guy is not.
No.
Colonel Unibrow is not. And well, he had colonel, the same well, authority.
Colonel Unibrow's, but I mean, obviously, if he's a colonel, that means that he was in the military before he was an astronaut.
I'm just saying, like, they just like...
But he was also from the U.S., so he has no authority, but...
Right, but everyone treated him like he did.
Well, the other dude was, he was a high officer at the SAS. The SAS is the British, like, super special forces.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he would command high respect, for sure.
Yeah.
And they did, that's why they had the one guy coming around with them, because he was, like, the Department of Defense guy. It was giving him all of the, like, you know, kind of green light to do whatever the hell he wanted. And that guy died in the Patrick Stewart fight. So up until that point, the reason why they're getting all that, you know, basically clearance and shit was because that guy was with them. Right. So that's like if you had, like, you know, the defense, you know, like the Department of the Defense leader guy with you. Like, of course, they're going to do whatever the fuck you tell them to do.
Yeah. I felt like the discount Dr. Van Helsing, is what I'll call him, that sporadically had this, like, four-post bed knob attached to, you know, cold steel, wherever that was, right?
He just leaded iron.
Leaded iron that just happened to have it. It knows all this lore. I think it's based off of our vampire lore. Nothing about these is classic vampire lore in the slightest. And he goes, I found life after death. Hooray. And I'm dying. Cool. And then energy. All right. He didn't make any sense. I said, and the other colonel guy going, I think he lied to me about where he's going. Where could I possibly go? The big blue beam that is visible everywhere. Go there. Of course, he had to get his weapon first. So that's what I got. How about you?
So for low points here, I'd say that the green screen effects in the beginning of the movie were very, very bad. They were terrible. It looked like they cut them out with like kids' scissors.
Well, yeah, they didn't move.
Yeah, it was terrible. The matte paintings were not great either. Let's say the Columbia going out to meet him, like, oops. Right? Like that's a bad choice. But yeah, I'd say the main thing is the full nudity. I mean, we're talking 2 minutes in, and then like almost, I don't know, 40 minutes of the film is just naked woman. Like,
yes,
every at least 30 seconds, full on naked woman. Again, we're talking full nudity.
Yes.
And then they're like, oh, I don't know why I caught on. What the hell are you talking about? You know, like, especially they didn't even, you know, there's no dongers, right? We don't see the dudes either. So it's not even like fair.
Right.
But yeah, it severely limits your audience, man. It's like, you know, people like see that shit. They're not going to let kids see that.
No.
You know, but like, okay, you look at, you know, another rated R movie from like, you know, the 80s, right? You look at like, well, like Predator came out in 87, right? If you saw your kid watching that movie, how upset would you be?
Not very.
Right. Because there's no naked fucking people walking around. Like, again, sex is very, very different. Like, My parents did not care if I watched violent, bloody shit. No one cared. Like, again, I was
right.
Child of the 80s. No one gave a shit. But if I wanted to watch something with, like, a boobs in it, right, or a sex scene, like, that, no. Like, that was not allowed. So, I mean, that's just the way it is that, you know,
yeah,
in America especially, sex right. is very restricted compared to violence and blood. So, yeah, a very bold statement of putting full nudity in your film for, like, you know, at least half the film. Like, of course you're going to limit your audience. I don't understand why you would think that. But just kind of reminds me of the MC5. Do you know the MC5? It's a band.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, they probably should have been big. And the reason why they weren't is because the big hit that they were trying to push on the radio was, it was a good song, right? But literally the intro to the song, we're talking the things he says before the music even starts, as he says, "Kick out the jams, motherfucker."
Yeah.
Right? And they refused to make a radio edit of the song. So they sent out this song to all these like radio stations and shit. They're like, "Yeah, play it. It's going to be great." Like, no one played it. Of course they didn't. They can't. Right? That's not something that you can do. That's not family friendly to put on airwaves. You're going to get in trouble with the FCC. So right. Like, of course nobody played it. And the band, you know, I mean, they're big in like, if you know, if you're like underground type music stuff, right? So like people know who the MC5 is, but they never got big. And that's why I think this movie is the same thing. Like it swung, you know, for the fences, and it didn't realize the one huge flaw that it had severely limits its audience. Like, if you want to make money, you got to have a wide audience.
It's an edgier Star Wars with vampires.
Right. And again, like the totally normal human romantic interactions, like, I don't know what the fuck. They were so disturbing to me. Like, I was like, what are they doing? It's like mouthing the air and like going, mom, 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 mom. That's not how people make out. What are you doing? Like, if you're an alien, but if you're trying to like, you know, so, you know, you're trying to seduce people, that's not how you do it.
I mean, I'm not saying any name, but we did watch something very recently where it seems like that they've studied the same human love stuff as Toby Hooper.
Right. And yeah, just say that whole fucking scene with that poor lady where he's like, I feel it in her mind. She's a masochist. She wants me to beat her.
Yeah.
So the only way I'm going to get answers out of her is if I beat her and she's going to enjoy it. I have to beat her until she stops enjoying it. You might want to leave the room. And the guy's like, nope, I'm good. I'm a voyeur. You just go right on ahead. Like, that whole scene is just bizarre and disturbing.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, this whole movie, like, I don't know if he was, like, horny at the time when he wrote it, or if, like, I don't know, maybe he was, like, between wives or something. I don't know what was going on, but he was having, I think, severe, like, relationship issues at the time he made
this
film.
At least it wasn't Marilyn Burns. He's tied up in at least a few of his movies.
Right.
Like, he's like, "Hey, Marilyn, I got a perfect role for you. You don't really say anything, and you get slapped around a lot."
Right. It's just bizarre. It's definitely something. So yeah, that's all I got.
All right.
So, Life Force 1985. How many moans and screeches out of 10 would you give?
This is it's a fun movie. I don't think it's going to be for everyone. I don't know. I kind of like it more than the rest of them, ever so slightly. We'll go 7.
I'm not going to go quite that high, but I will go higher than the other two. I'm going to say 5.75. It's fun enough, but it's got some severe flaws. And if you watch it, you will understand why it never really hit it big.
Right. And, you know, before we get into our, you know, we can say what our next episode's be. I want to say something about the rest of these movies and how it ties in, I think. What we got going for us next week?
Okay, so next we got remakes, reboots, requels, and reimaginings. So what happens when you take a great movie and the studio tries to squeeze some more milk from that cash cow, unfortunately? We'll find out next week when we get into the unnecessary remakes that came out of classic movies like Flatliners, Psycho, and The Fog.
So what I think all three of these movies could do is a good remake. I think Vampires in Space would be a fantastic movie now, in today's world.
So you just want a naked woman for over half the film?
I'm saying get rid of that part, but the concept.
Oh, okay. All right.
The concept, I think, would be you want a movie to remake that might be necessary, it would be Life Force, quite honestly.
They said it was supposed to be, like, Toby Hooper's big breakout film, and it
Yep, it broke out so well that he had to go back to Texas Chainsaw.
It's like, yeah, they were like, okay, well, yeah, that didn't work out. Hey, why don't you go back to Texas Chainsaw? And then we got the fever dream that is Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. So it worked out for me because I love that movie.
Right. All right.
All right, so remember, we watch bad movies so you don't have to.
And this has been Graveyard saying, have you checked on the children?
This is Salem saying, long live the new flesh.
Good night.